bound way. Why is that? And the answer is that it gives us absolute freedom. Because those two forces on us are so equally matched, the only thing that can move us one way or the other is our own choice. The choice of our own heart. And whenever I hear the title of the book, Heaven and Hell, that's what I always think of. That perfect balance that gives us absolute freedom. Okay. So now the sessions are over there. Four sheets of paper, four groups. I think, very good feedback just from what I was sensing was going on. Can I just say that I particularly enjoyed the process of the words of heaven and hell, and the questions, maybe to a lesser extent, triggering experiences of people and the opportunity that they had to share those. So don't feel guilty about wasting a lot of time talking about what weren't the questions, because I just got this sense that everybody in this room, the Lord knows what everyone in this room needs. And then I got this sense, the Lord knows who else in this room can meet that need through a couple of words or through sharing a little bit about themselves. And in a very real way, I hope that He uses this weekend to bring those people together to minister. That's what ministry is. That's a person who has a bit of insight or a feeling of success, sharing that with somebody who's looking for something along those lines. So, and that was what I was really looking for in breaking you up into groups like that, and I felt that I achieved that really well. So I'm going to ask whoever was the nominated person in the group to just share what their group how their group answered the questions, as many questions as you were able to answer. I just want to say one little thing. Perhaps we won't have people from other groups asking too many questions, or it'll take us too long to get through it. But you'll have morning tea straight after this, so that's your opportunity.
So who's first?
I'll go first. I was in the Communication in Heaven group. Before I start this, can I just say welcome to Ruth?
Thank you.
Ruth's a local, well, not Canberran anymore quite, so but in the region, and just come along for today to experience everything here. So welcome.
Thank you.
And you'll get to know everybody, I'm sure, during the course of the day. So Communication in Heaven was our topic. Our first question was, in what language do angels and spirits talk with men? I've just got very bare notes. So we came up with the idea of talking in thought, which is then converted into our own language by us. One of the things that we noticed was there's a difference in the perception of this process depending upon whether it is an angel or whether it is a spirit. So an angel has a perception that they are talking to us and using our ideas to communicate. A spirit has a perception that they are talking to us and they are using their own ideas to communicate, when yet they are our own ideas. The process is the same, but angels and spirits perceive it differently, which was intriguing. And the little thing where Swedenborg says he's tried to argue the point to the spirits but failed. The second question, how does our speech with each other differ from speech with angels and spirits? Speech of angels and spirits comes from within and activates the ear. It also activates the tongue, whereas speech with men is through the air into the ear and then into the mind. So that was a different path it was going through.
It's a physical effect.
Yes, I'm
going to say it. Get it later for that one. So, and then the next one, how does the Lord speak with man? And one of the things that struck us was it's a very scientific description. So Swedenborg is talking about the Lord flowing into the face. He's talking about the different regions, the spiritual and the celestial angels flow into. He talks about the celestial angels flowing into the cerebellum, you know, the back of the head. So it's very, very physiological description, much as his description of the death experience is. We got into talking about the drug DMT, which brings on near-death experience states. And we also were talking about the way that when we have a near-death experience, it might be clothed in what we expect. So when we have a doctrine which teaches us reincarnation, then we experience reincarnation near-death experiences. But then we also talked about what happens with people who are surprised by what they experience. The final one, the fourth question we didn't get onto the extra. Why is the bond between angels and spirits and man so intermittent? And it was essentially the alienation of man from the Lord. And he used an interesting phrase, certainly in my heaven and hell, that because of this alienation, we are yoked to spirits and angels instead of having a general influx flowing in. So that was awesome.
Thank you. Thank you, David. Who else? Who's next?
I guess Julian's group will go next.
Julian
will back.
I like it. I like it.
This is space in heaven.
This is space in heaven. And let me say first of all that I'm just so pleased that we've got the ability to be able to examine a book like Heaven and Hell with people like the two Davids and Martin and especially Julian, because they give us a whole different insight into the way that it all comes together. So, space in heaven. The first question we addressed was, how do we recognise distance in this spiritual world? And the notes that we have suggest that distance relates to a like-mindedness of state, where if we're closer, if we have a closer affinity with somebody, then we have we're closer in distance. Conversely, we're further apart in distance the more we don't have that affinity with somebody. So it's all to do with like-mindedness and the relation and relates to relationships between people and the rapport and the strength of affection that, that those people enjoy. Julian, if you'd like to dive in at any stage, please feel free. However, I'll continue on.
Try and stop.
Or me.
It's true. All journeys in the spiritual world occur by means of changes of state. And we drew the distinction here that in this world we're always on a journey, and in the next world, we'll continue on that journey. And our journey relates to, though, in terms of what I've just said about space, our journey relates to movement and change of direction and continual change, which relates to a continual change of state as we have and gather more learnings and more understandings and a greater broadening of our understanding of
Notice how Graham is having to use spatial terminology to describe spiritual progression. Okay? Came up all the time.
Julian, but that we also understand it.
You can relate to it. Yeah. Because of where we're at.
No questions.
Fascinating stuff. What do length, breadth, and height signify in heaven? Some definitional stuff. Distance is about goodness.
Length
is about goodness. Breadth is, relates to truth. And height is a combination and is a concept that involves the integral nature of those two measures, good and truth, and the dynamic or the mix between the two, which is really quite cerebral stuff. What are distance, speed, and space controlled by in the spiritual world? Well, we think that we already covered that in our previous questions, and relates to the accord, the agreement or the disagreement in relation to the previous definitions.
We also came up with the quite helpful way we talk about emotion and motion.
And the next one.
Oh, I just want to say too, and Romans 8, because height, width, depth, breadth, nothing separates us from the love of God. So I just add my own personal in that whatever we have shared or discussed, for me, it'll come down to the bottom line.
Made it all worthwhile.
Well, yeah. If your heart's not there, I'll be polite, but the rest can. Okay.
And the final question that we addressed was how do we use technology to imitate the spiritual world? And the immediate thought that we had was that technology gives us the appearance of space in the spiritual world, and we can relate that to things like Skype, things like social media, and the general immediacy that technology gives us. It's here and now, and that relates to the definitions of space that we've spoken about earlier.
It was as far as it went.
My head hurts.
Thank you.
Very good, Graham. You did
well.
Wow. Next.
Grand man.
Yeah, well, you've got the questions. We did the grand man. First question was, give one reason heaven is like a grand man. And we came up with, it's the divine designer. It's a divine design, and it's a kingdom of uses. Man's got all the different parts, the different uses, and so's heaven. So it's got, it has to be designed to have all those different uses in different places, if you can have different places, or congregated together. So the kingdom of uses is congregated into the divine design of the grand man. And it led into the next question, what can we tell about heaven by the fact communities exist in human form? And we answered that by saying how the whole thing is such an interdependent community. You can't, one bit won't work without the other bit. Each part is critical. It's an interdependent community, but the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. And the whole thing reflects the divine plan. Next question was, how does the human form change as a community increases in size? And it just becomes more perfect, more beautiful, with greater variety. And I think that was rather gorgeous, that it just becomes more perfect. It's not, sorry, we're full, go somewhere else. It just, the more we have, the better we are. And that was rather gorgeous. What form do angels have? They have human form. exactly the same as we do, but they don't have a material body. And I can't quite conceptualise that, but one day hopefully I will. But it's a human form. Everything seems to have a human form. Why are they hard to see? Because you can only see what I think is a spiritual human form with spiritual eyes. We've got material eyes to see a material form, and it's not till we have spiritual eyes or eyes that are open on the spiritual level that can we actually see a spiritual form. That's why they're hard to see. And what form does the Lord have in heaven? Well, he's got a human form too, but it's absolutely perfect. It's not a blemish on it. And then our little bit, the extra thing on the end, was to compare what you discovered in heaven and hell on the grand man with what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 26. Mm. And it's 15 verses that summarises heaven and hell. It's exactly what heaven and hell is in 15 verses. So we were quite surprised.
And who said Paul's writings were heresy?
Yeah. So, the grand man. Everything's a man. It's just getting smaller and smaller and smaller and littler. And, yeah. It's all the same design.
Is that the parts of the body?
Talk to you about it.
No, I'm just checking here. I very rarely check here, so...
Oh, you mean what Paul said?
Yeah.
You are the arm, the hand,
that's what,
If the hand says to, I don't need you...
You just pictured a Russian doll. You know, those ones that start
beeping
and go in.
Babushka.
Last one.
Babushka.
Time, space. Time in heaven.
Sorry, I'll be quick. Yeah, what causes time in the world? We talked about the sun tells the time progression of Earth around the sun, and that led us on to lots of different things like time corresponds to states of truth. So while we're learning one thing on another, we talked about the sun is the Lord. We started to get into corresponding there. We cycle in different states, like the earth going around the sun.
The seasons
we started to talk about even before we read the next one. It was and then in heaven and hell it talked about seasons. We talked about spring, summer, autumn, winter, morning, midday, afternoon, night. Is infancy, youth, maturity, old age.
Winter about discontent.
So spring is increasing insight, and summer we talked about is fullness and charity, and autumn is a decline in a state of love, and winter is a state of no charity, no faith. And so we looked at a lot of correspondence there. Then in what ways do we acknowledge the nature of time in the spiritual world? Time is longer or shorter according to our affection. Yeah, so we always find time for things that we love, and we find when we're doing something we love, the time goes really quickly. It's a bit like the space. It's a bit like with space. People are close, like I've got a godmother, Hilda Johnson. She always feels close to me, but she's in England, and other people like that. Things that you love, the day goes quickly. If you're doing a few things that you don't like doing, it drags. How are the following statements about time linked to affection? I can never find the time. You must make time. It's important to take time. And we can you think of some others. We thought no time like the present. Having a hard time reflects to state. On the clock was one that David came up with. If he hadn't heard about that one.
I'm too busy for you. You don't matter. I'm too busy for you.
We thought it was
on
a New Zealand one.
It's saying it's a
bit of time.
Oh, does it? Okay. State of affection. Relative to the state of affection. So, yeah, basically it linked with space, didn't it?
Yeah, so the end was the extra had to do with relativity, the theory of relativity. And so that was covered in the idea that when you're enjoying something, time seems to go very quickly, and when you're doing something you don't enjoy, it drags and becomes complex.
Yeah.
The theory of relativity, in my opinion, virtually proves that we're that the world is actually on spiritual time, it just doesn't know it.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. That's
thank you.